the third sign. Thirdly, a third sign of the approach of the ruin of Antichrist is this: when Babylon is become the habitation of devils, etc., then the downfall thereof is upon us. True, Babylon was always an habitation for devils, but not an habitation only for them. Israel once dwelt there, and our Antichrist was sometimes a place of residence for good men. The meaning then is, when you shall see the church and people of God so forsake her that she is left in a manner to herself and to her disciples, then she is to fall quickly. When you hear it proclaimed by them that are yet in her, of God's people, quote, "We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go everyone into his own country," close quote, Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 9. Then she will soon be hissed out of the world, for this is the way of the wisdom of God, namely, to bring his people out of a city or place when he intends the ruin of that place. When God was about to destroy the old world, he put Noah into an ark. When God was about to destroy Sodom, he sent his Lot away thence to Zoar. When Christ was about to destroy Jerusalem, he bid his disciples flee from the midst of that. And when there shall be by God a hissing for his people, and when they shall hear him and obey and gather to him, then you shall see what will become of this enemy of Christ. Quote, "I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them," close quote, Zechariah chapter 10, verses 8 through 12. I say, therefore, when Babylon shall become the habitation of devils, a hold for all foul spirits, and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird, then Babylon is fallen. And thus the angel that lightened the earth with his glory proclaimed, quote, "Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and a hold for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird," close quote. Wherefore it must be that by that her time is come that she should fall, God will have gleaned his people from the midst of her. And when God shall have gleaned his people from the midst of her, those that are left behind will appear more than ever to be what they are, to wit, devils, foul spirits, and hateful birds. Wherefore, now will Antichrist appear in his own most proper colors. But to comment a little upon the words, Babylon, Mystery Babylon, Revelation 17, verse 5, the anti-Christian church is fallen. In the eyes and faith of the godly, by her dropping into the dregs of degeneracy, and so has become the habitation of devils, etc., in order to her falling into utter and unavoidable destruction forever, is become. That is, through the labor of the fanners and winnowers that God hath sent to fan Babylon and to fetch out his people, that she might be left to her chaff. Quote, "I will send," saith God to Babylon, "fanners that shall fan her and shall empty her land of good men. For in the day of trouble they shall be against her round about," close quote. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 2. An habitation of devils. devils. Not such by nature, but by practice. Incarnate devils. For when the time has come that Babylon must be destroyed, she shall be found to be an habitation for the most vile of the sons of men. For as devils have acted towards the world, so shall the sons of this sorceress and this whore act towards Christ and his members in the latter days. And perhaps the departing of Zion from the midst of her will blow her up into this spirit of devilism. Let God's people, therefore, when Antichrist is towards her end, look for nothing from her, but what the devil in times past used to do, to wit, all sinful subtlety, malice, wrath, fraud, deceit, lying, murder, false accusings, and implacable madness of spirit to do them mischief. But, Lord God, think I, what will become of good men? Where will they be safe in such days? Only I comfort myself by saying to myself again, this a sign that the ruin of Antichrist is at the door. But this I say, he must needs be a tunable man, that shall be able in those days to sing this song to himself at all seasons. All seasons. For this is to drive reason backward, and to set the cart before the horse. For what will the good man's reason say when it seeth all Babylonians are become devils? But that the church of God will certainly be torn in pieces? But behold, the text and the Holy Ghost runs counter. Quote, Babylon is fallen, and, or for it, is become the habitation of devils. Close quote. And these words, for certain, are the words of an holy angel. For it could not have entered into the heart of mere man to conceive them. An habitation. To be an habitation for devils is to be their house, their dwelling place, their place of privilege, their place of rest and abode, or thither whither they have right to go. And thus will Babylon be, that is, an house, an habitation, a dwelling place, a place of rest, only for devilish-minded men. Thither may such men come, for such her door stand open, and there may such inhabit. When therefore you see good men come out thence, and all sorts of wicked men flock in thither, then know that Babylon is near her end. And a hold for every foul spirit. Understand by spirit either those that are devils by nature, or such as are otherwise. But I think that the angel chiefly intends all manner of unclean and filthy spirits. And so the church and members of Babylon, their only place of safety. Or, if you understand it of the uncleanness of the spirits and minds of men, then the meaning is that they are called foul spirits, in allusion to those of devils which go by the same name. Mark chapter 9, verse 25. But however, or which way soever taken, it seems Babylon is their hold, that is, their place of defense. For by an hold, we often understand a place of strength, a castle, a fort, a tower. So that these devils, these foul-spirited men, these Babylonians will not only find house room and harbor in Babel, but also shelter, defense, and protection when she is near her ruin. Yea, they will find her an upholder to them, and a countenancer of them in all their foul and devilish pranks. Yea, such an hold shall she be to such foul spirits in such foul acts, that it shall not be possible that they should be driven from her, or from them. For an hold is often taken in the scriptures for a place that is impregnable, and must be so taken here. This intimates, then, that some faint opposition by the kings and nations will be made against these inhabitants, these foul spirits, but to little purpose, until the time of her land shall come. Jeremiah chapter 27, verse 7. For in their hold they still will be secured and defended from what reason, law, and scripture can or would do unto them. Thus then we see how Babel, towards her end, will be filled. And with what, to wit, with devils and foul spirits. Yea, and that she will not only be an habitation, but a place of defense for such. And a cage for every unclean and hateful bird. Those that before are called devils and foul spirits are also here called birds, unclean and hateful beasts. By the term birds, he may allude to that of the prophet Isaiah, where these unclean birds are mentioned. That's chapter 34, verses 11 through 17, for those who are looking for the scripture. And by cage, he may allude to the prophet Jeremiah, from whom, as I think, the Holy Ghost takes those words. But then, we must put men in the place of birds, in the Babylonian kingdom, before the cage. And that's Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 27. Every unclean bird, as was said before, a hold for every foul spirit. These unclean birds, therefore, are not all of one feather or kind, but of all and every kind. And it intimates that the worst act of all professions shall be as in a cage in Babylon, a little before her downfall. But I say, if they will not be all of one feather, yet in their temper they will somewhat agree, being either in shape, monstrous, of appetite, ravenous, or of inclination, or lovers of the night. For of all these sorts were the forbidden or unclean birds among the Jews. Now, since these unclean birds are not all of one feather or kind, it intimates that the basest of all sorts, sects, professions, and degrees shall take shelter in Babylon towards her end, and that they shall there, in their temper, unanimously agree to show themselves monstrous, to devour and eat up the poor and needy, and to blow out the light of the gospel. A cage, not to imprison them in, but for them to sit and to sing in, to confer their notes in, to make melodious music in. I mean, melodious to their own thinking. For the ass thinks that he sings full favoredly, and the owl endeavors to lift up her voice above all the birds of the wood. But it will be a prediction of her fall, and that her ruin is at the door. Of these birds Zephaniah speaks when he prophesies of the downfall of Nineveh, saying, quote, "The cormorant and the bittern shall lodge in the uppermost lintels of it. Their voice shall sing in the windows when desolation shall be in the thresholds," close quote. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 14. an unseasonable time to sing in. For when death is coming in at the door, mourning should be in the chambers. But this is the judgment of God, that she should be a cage for every unclean bird to sing in. Even then, when her destruction and desolation cometh upon her, to sing as in a cage doth also denote security, and that the heart is far from fear. For she saith, quote, I shall see no sorrow in that hour in which her judgment comes, close quote. But is this a sign of the approach of the ruin of Antichrist? And must those that shall live to see those days rejoice when these things begin to come to pass? Are not these things rather a sign that the utter overthrow of the church of God is at the door? Indeed, to sense it is, and reason will be apt to say so. But hark what the Holy Ghost saith, quote, she is fallen, now, close quote. When therefore we shall see men like devils, yea, every foul spirit and hateful bird, flock to and take shelter in Babylon, let us not be frighted or dejected, but rather pluck up our hearts and say, this is one of the signs that the downfall of Babylon is near. Wherefore it follows, after that, the prophet had told us that these birds should dwell in the land of the people of God's curse. Isaiah chapter 34. That, quote, the wilderness and solitary place shall be glad for them, for that they are there, and the desert shall rejoice, and the blossom as the rose. It shall blossom, saith he, abundantly, and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, and the excellency of our God, close quote. And to support the weak from those fears that in those days will be pulling of them down. He adds, quote, strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap up as an hart, that's H-A-R-T, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not therein, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereupon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs, and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Close quote. That's Isaiah chapter 35. What say ye now, ye sons of God? Will you learn to make a judgment of things according to the mystery of the wisdom of God? Or will ye longer conclude according to sense and reason? Quote, he turneth the shadow of death into the morning. Close quote. Amos chapter 5, verse 8. And commands often that the fairest day should succeed the foulest night. Wherefore, when we see these devils, foul spirits, and unclean birds in Babylon, yea, when we see good men leave her, and the vilest run into her, then let us sing the angel's song, and say, quote, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and a hold for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird. Close quote. The fourth sign. Fourthly, another sign of the approach of the ruin of Antichrist is, quote, the slaying of the witnesses. Close quote. For the witnesses are to be slain before the fall of Antichrist, and that by the hand of the beast, who shall manage the members of Antichrist, having qualified them before that work, with those qualifications of which you read in the sign foregoing. For what can better fit a generation for such a work than to be themselves all turned devils, and also succorers of all foul spirits? Wherefore, they must be the wickedest of men that shall do this, the very scum of the nations, and the very vilest of people. Nor is this a new notion. God threatened to give his sanctuary, quote, into the hands of strangers for a prey, into the wicked of the earth for a spoil, close quote. That's Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 21. To robbers, burglars, and they that should defile it. That's chapter 7, verse 22. Again, saith God of his people, quote, I will bring the worst of the heathen, and they shall possess their houses, close quote. This is Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 24. For the truth is, this work is too bad for men, either of reason or conscience, to be found in the practice of. The hangman is usually none of the best. The witnesses are also to be slain, but not a man, but a beast must slay them. Quote, a den of thieves, a hold of foul spirits, close quote, must do it. That the witnesses must be slain before the fall of Babylon has been hinted already. Also, that their death is a forerunner of the ruin of Antichrist has been touched upon before. But in this place I shall a little enlarge, and therefore I proceed. Quote, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people, and kindreds, and tongues, and nations, shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies, shall not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves, close quote. Quote, and after 3 days and then half, the spirit of life from God entered into them. And they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. Close quote. Revelation chapter 11, verses 7 through 12. Thus you see, their death is before their deliverance. Also, their death is to be by the hand of the beast, twit, by the men that have and hold his mark, and that of his image, and that are of the number of his name. You see also that their death is not only a forerunner of their deliverance, but a sign that their deliverance is at the door, since the one is but 3 days and then half before the other. And if a short comment upon this text will give a little light to the reader, I shall not count my labor lost. And when they shall have finished their testimony, when, or about the time they have done their work of witness bearing for God in the world, when they have made or are making an end of giving their testimony for Christ, and against the witchcrafts, idolatries, and sorceries, and fornications, thefts, murders, and wickedness of Antichrist, then and not till then. Quote, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit, close quote. The beast, the power that carrieth and beareth up Antichrist, the mother of harlots, the beast upon which the woman sitteth, and by the heads and horns of which she is protected and defended, he is said to ascend out of the bottomless pit, for that he manifesteth by his doings that he was born there, and came to do the work of the king thereof, shall make war against them. We read that he made war against them all the time of their prophesying in sackcloth, while they were bearing their testimony against his doing, and that his commission was that he should have leave, or be allowed, that he should have leave to make war only for so long. Revelation chapter 12, verse 6. But here we read again that when they finished their testimony, and so consequently he had run out the time of his first commission for war, he makes war again, so that this war which now he raises against them seems to be another, a new war, and such as is grounded upon other, to wit, new arguments, besides those upon which his first war stood. By his first war, he sought to beat down and overthrow their testimony. Revelation chapter 13, verse 4. By this war, he seeketh to overthrow themselves. The first war he made was grounded upon a vain confidence of his ability to destroy their faith. But this last was grounded upon madness against them, because their testimony had prevailed against him. Wherefore, torment, wherewith these witnesses, by their testimony, tormented him and his followers, was the cause of this last war. And this is insinuated when he saith, quote, they make merry for their victory over them, because these two prophets, close quote, to wit, by their testimony, quote, tormented them that dwelt on the earth, close quote. Revelation chapter 11, verse 10. The beast, therefore, will make a war against the witnesses all the time of their prophesying in sackcloth, which will be 1,260 days. Revelation chapter 12, verse 6. In all which time they shall give him the foil, and overcome him by their faith and testimony, and be proclaimed more than conquerors over him, through the Christ that loved them. But now, in this second war, he overcomes them. Quote, he overcomes them and kills them, close quote. Jezebel, for a long time, made war against Elijah the prophet, seeking to overthrow the worship of God which he maintained, and to establish the region, or to establish the religion, of Baal. But when she saw that by all she could do, she got nothing, but that the prophet got the day of her worship, priests and worshipers, 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 30 through 40. She breaks out into a rage, as one tormented almost to death, and raises a new war. Not now against his religion, but rather against his person. And desperately swears by all the gods she had that by tomorrow, that time, the life of the prophet should be as the life of one of her priests, whom he had slain for an idolater. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 2. When the devil sees that he cannot do by argument, he will try, if he can, by blows. When Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, saw that with argument he could not overcome Micaiah, he steps to him and takes him a box of the ear. That's 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 24. This new war is a box of the ear which the beast will give the witnesses, because they overcame him by their faith and testimony all that time that the first war lasted. Now, how long the second war will last and what strugglings the witnesses will make before he shall overcome them, I know not. But this I do know, that the text saith, quote, by this war he shall overcome them, close quote. And he shall overcome them. Shall overcome them. Saints are not said to be overcome when they are imprisoned, banished, and killed for their faithful testimony. No, by these things, they overcome. To overcome then is to get the mastery, to subdue, to turn out of possession, and to take hold and captive, to strip the subdued of power and privilege, as is sufficiently manifest both by scripture and reason. Quote, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage, close quote. That's 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. So then, when he is said to overcome them, it is meant that he shall get the mastery of them. They shall grow faint before him, have no heart or spirit to bear up in their profession against him. Against him, I say, as she did the 2,000 or the 1,203 score days war with him. For then they were overcomers and did bear away the garland. Nor do I, for my part, wonder at this when I consider that these witnesses are a succession of good men, and that when Israel came out of Egypt of old, the feeble and weak-handed did come behind. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 17 through 19. It will be the lot, therefore, of the church, in the latter end of the reign of the beast, to be feeble and weak in their profession, the valiant ones having gone before. These will come when those that were able have bravely borne their testimony, or when they are upon finishing of that. In comparison of whom, they that come after will be but like eggs to the cocks or the roosters of the game. Wherefore they must needs be crushed, cowed, and overcome, And then will the beast boast himself, as did his type of old, and say, quote, my hand hath found as a nest the riches of the people, and as one gathereth eggs that are left, have I gathered all the earth, and there was none that moved the wing, or opened the mouth, or peeped. Close quote. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 14. A sad time. And it is to happen to the people that are left, to the latter end of the witness bearers. And that too, when they shall have finished their testimony. Of this tyranny, the cruelty of Amalek was a type, who, as was hinted before, smote the hindermost, the weak. But his judgment is that, quote, he shall perish forever, close quote, and shall overcome them. There are two ways of overcoming, to wit, by power and policy. And perhaps by both these ways they may be overcome. However, overcome they shall be, for so saith the holy word of God, yea, the beast shall overcome them. Wherefore, the church of God at that day will be under such a cloud as she never was since Christ's day. Now, how long they shall thus be held captive before they are brought to execution, whether the beast will ride in triumph while they are in his bondage, or whether he will suddenly kill them, that time and observation and experience must make manifest. But kill them he shall, that's most certain, for so says the Holy Ghost. And shall overcome them and kill them. In this method, therefore, God will suffer the beast to proceed with the church of God after she has sufficiently borne her testimony for him in the world. He shall, quote, war against them, close quote. But that is not all. He shall overcome them. But that is not all. He shall, quote, overcome them and kill them, close quote. And kill them. Of their slaughter also I shall speak a word or two. But first I would note, as all know, that there is a difference to be put between killing and overcoming. For though everyone that is killed is overcome, yet everyone that is overcome is not killed. Acts chapter 21, verse 32. Men may be overcome and yet live. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 11. But when they are killed, it is otherwise. There may be a cry heard from the mouth of them that are overcome, but not from the mouth of them that are killed. Exodus chapter 32, verse 18. Acts chapter 7, verse 34. They that are overcome may consult their own enlargement and deliverance. But they that are killed cannot do so. I do therefore distinguish between killed and overcome, because the text doth so. Quote, he shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them, close quote. And kill them. From these words, therefore, I will take occasion to inquire, number one, how they are considered as to this slaughter. Number two, what death they must die to accomplish this prophecy. First, how they are to be considered. Well, I answer, not in a carnal or natural, but in a mystical sense. For first, they are called witnesses. Secondly, they are put under the number of two. My two witnesses. Revelation chapter 11, verse 3, both of which are to be mystically taken. First, because their testimony standeth not in their words only, but also in their conversation, yea, in their suffering also. And that is a mystical witness bearing. Secondly, they go under the number of two. Not because there were indeed two such men in the world, but because two are a sufficient number to bear witness. Numbers chapter 35, verse 30. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. And God's church, in the most furious heat and rage of Antichrist, has been at least of such a number of professing saints to proclaim against the beast and his worship in the name of God. To think that there have been two such men in the world is ridiculous, for these witnesses must continue to give their testimony for God against Antichrist 1,260 years. Nor can they scripturally bear this title, my two witnesses, but with respect to their prophesyings for so long. The witnesses, therefore, are nothing else but a successive church, or the congregation of God abiding for him against Antichrist, by reason of a continual succession of men that is joined by the special blessing of God unto it. Secondly, what death they must die? I answer, not a corporeal one, but that which is mystically such. And I choose to understand it thus, because this suiteth best with their state and condition, which is mystical. Besides, thus did they, when they did overcome, thus did they slay their enemies, even with the fire or sword of their mouth. Quote, if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Close quote. Revelation chapter 11, verse 5. As therefore they went about to kill their enemies, so their enemies will kill them. But they sought to kill their enemies by their testimony as to their anti-Christian spirit and church state. And their enemies will kill them as to their Christian heat and fervency of mind, and also as to their Christian church state. So that, at least so I think, so that there will be such ruins brought both upon the spirit of Christianity and the true Christian church state before this Antichrist is destroyed, that there will, for a time, scarcely be found a Christian spirit, or a true, visible, living church of Christ in the world. Narrator's note, how about 2019? That about fits that description, doesn't it? Continuing. Nothing but the dead bodies of these will be to be seen of the nations, nor them neither, otherwise than as so many ruinous heaps. For the love that I bear to the church of Christ, I wish, as to this, I may prove a false prophet. But this looks so like the text, and also so like the dispensations of God with his church of old, that I cannot but think it will be so. As for the text, I have spoken to that already. Wherefore, I will now present you with some things that look like parallel cases. First, when the church was coming out of Egypt, just before they were delivered from Pharaoh, they were, in their own eyes, and in the eyes of their enemies, none other than dead. Quote, it had been better, said they to Moses, for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Close quote. That's Exodus chapter 14, verse 12. The people said so. Moses feared, and Pharaoh concluded they were all dead men. Exodus chapter 12, verse 33. Also, Paul tells us, quote, that they were baptized, that is, buried, unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, close quote. That is, they were, for the time, to use the expression, a dead church, both in the eyes of Pharaoh, in the eyes of Moses, and also in their own. And, quote, 'tis to be taken notice of, as the witnesses in the text were slain but a little before the ruin of Antichrist began, so this church was baptized in the sea but a little before great Pharaoh was drowned there. Close quote. Secondly, in the time of Elijah, which time also was typical of this, what church was there to be seen in Israel? Well, none but was what was underground, or buried in dens and in the caves of the earth. Yea, the prophet could see none, and therefore he cried to God and said, Lord, they have, quote, digged down thine altars, close quote, and slain thy prophets, quote, and I am left alone, and they seek my life, close quote. That's 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 14, and Romans chapter 11, verse 3. What visible living church was now in the land, I mean, either with reference to a godly spirit for it, or the form and constitution of it? What was known to God, but dead to every man alive? Thirdly, what was the dry bones that we read of in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel? But the church of God, and also a figure of what we are treating of. And why call it dried bones, since the people were alive with their substance, wives, and children, but to show that the church of God was now, as to their spirit and church state, accounted for as dead. Not only by themselves, but by the king of Babylon and the nations round about. Babylon, then, was the valley and the grave, and the church of God were the bones. Bones without flesh, sinews, or skin. Bones exceedingly dry. Yea, so dry and dead were they, that the prophet himself could not tell whether ever they should live again. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 3. Now this, as I said, was a state that was not to end with the church of Israel, but to be acted over once again by the beast with the church of the New Testament. Yea, it is an easier matter to make their witness in this their death, and the church of Israel in this their grave, in many things to symbolize. Fourthly, take another instance, or rather comparison, into which the church of God compared herself when under the king of Babylon's tyranny. And that is, she counted herself as the dung that the beast lets fall to the ground from behind him. And doth this look like a visible church state? Or has it the smell or savor of such a thing? Nebuchadnezzar, said she, quote, hath swallowed me up like a dragon. He hath filled his belly with my delicacies. He hath cast me out, close quote. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 34. Pray, what would you think of a man of whom one should tell you that he was eaten up of a dragon, made to fill the belly of a dragon, and cast out as the dung of a dragon? Would you think that such an one did all this while retaining the shape, form, or similitude of a man? Why, thus the church said she was, and thus the church shall be again, for she is once more to be overcome and killed, and that by the beast, the dragon's whelp, of which the king of Babylon was a type. Therefore I conclude the premises, that is, that the beast will kill the church that shall be in the latter days, as to her Christian spiritedness and her church state. And I could further add that if we hold they die corporeally, we must conclude that their natural body, being slain, shall lie 3 years and a half in the street. Yea, that their resurrection shall be corporeal, etc. But why should we think thus, as yet I can see no reason, since the persons are such mystically? The beast, mystically so, the street in which they be, mystically such. In the days of their unburied state, to be taken mystically likewise. But we will pass this and descend to other things. Fifthly, I will yet add another thing. When Israel was coming out of Babylon, yea, while they were building of the temple of God, which was a figure of our church state now under the gospel, they were not only troubled, hindered, and molested in their work, but were made, for a time, to cease, and let the work lie still. Quote, now, says the text, when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter, which he sent to forbid the Jews in their work, was read before Rehuim and Shimshai, the scribe, and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews, and made them to cease by force and power. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased under the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia, close quote. And that's Ezra chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. And I pray, since their temple worship was a type of a New Testament church state and worship, what doth their causing of that work to cease signify to us? But that we must have a time also to cease, as did they. And since their temple work was caused to cease before the house was finished, what face could there be at present thereupon but that to look to? It was like some deformed, battered, broken building, or as such an one that was begun by foolish builders. Yea, and since the Jews left off to build God's house at the command of the heathens, what did that bespeak? But that they had lost their spirit, were quashed, and so as to their temple work, killed, as it were, to all intents and purposes. And thus it will be, a little before the church of God shall be set free from the beast and all his angels. For these things were written for our admonition, to show us what shall be done hereafter. Yea, and whether we believe or disbelieve hereabout, time will bring it to pass. I do not question, but many good men have written more largely of this matter. But as I have not seen their books, and so I walk not by their rules. If I make a mistake, the mistakes are only mine. And if I shall merit shame, I alone must bear it. Some may think they have said enough, when they assert that for the witnesses to be killed is to be dead in law. But I answer, that is not to be overcome. I'm going to say that again. Some may think that they have said enough when they assert that for the witnesses to be killed is to be dead in law. But I answer, that is not to be overcome. They are here said to be overcome, and that is more than to be dead in law. For a man may be dead in law, and yet not be overcome, and if so, then far enough off from being killed. So then, for as much as they are said to be overcome and killed, it must be more than to be dead in law. Besides, the text supposeth that they had yielded up, as dying men do, their souls, their spirit of life, into the hands of God. For it saith concerning them that at their resurrection, the spirit of life from God entered again into them. Into them antecedent thereunto, quote, and after 3 days and an half, this spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, close quote. Revelation chapter 11, verse 11. And thus it was concerning the dry bones, which mention was made before. Quote, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live, close quote. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 9. And thus much concerning their killing. Now, as I said, since in death the body doth not only lie dead, but the spirit of life departs therefrom, it is to show that not only their bodies, or their church state, shall die, for churches are called bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. But that spirit of life that acted those bodies shall be taken up to God. There shall, for a time, be no living, visible Church of Christ in the world. A church, but no living church, as to church state. A church in ruins, but not a church in order. Even as there was once a Christ, but no living Christ in the grave. Yet the gates of hell shall not prevail to an utter overthrow thereof, no more than they prevailed to an utter overthrow of Christ. But as one did, so shall the other revive and rise again to the utter confusion and destruction of their enemies. Yea, and as Christ, after his resurrection, was, as to this body, more glorious than he was before, also the witnesses, after their resurrection, shall be more spiritual, heavenly, and exact in all their ways than they were before they were killed. Resurrections are always attended with new additions of glory, and so shall the Church of God, as to her church state, be in the latter days. But yet the beast shall not altogether have his will, if that at all was his will, that these witnesses in this second war should be conquered to a compliance with Antichrist in his foolish and vain religion. For it is not with dead men to comply, but as they are dead to their own church state, and so they are to his. When the Jews had killed Christ, it was beyond all the art of hell to cause that his body should see corruption. So when the beast has killed the witnesses, he shall not be able to corrupt them with any of his vices. Hence you find that not the witnesses, but the dwellers upon the earth were them that danced after the devil's pipe when he had fulfilled their murder. nor doth this murder, as to the fulfilling of it in those nations where the woman sitteth, seem to be a great way off, if all be true that from foreign parts some have said. For what a withdrawing of God and of his Spirit is there already in some of the churches of God? The word worketh not that sound repentance, which it was wont to do. Preachers preach for little, but to spend themselves, as men that are wounded do, when with groans they let out their life. Where, say some, is the spirit and life of communion? And where is that practical holiness that formerly used to be seen in the houses, lives, and conversations of professors? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint already. And how long will it be before churches die of the wound that the beast has given them? Time must make appear. But die, I perceive, they must. For if the wound already given will not kill, repeated blows shall. By all that I have said, I do not deny but that many of the people of God may die corporeally by the hand of the beast in this second war that shall be made by him against the witnesses. But should as many more die, that will not prove that death will be that by the killing of the witnesses is intended. Something I would bestow upon the reader for him to carry with him as a memorandum while he reads this account of things, in this case, listen. As, first, this victory of the beast is not to be until the witnesses have finished their testimony. And so, by all that he shall do, he shall not hinder the revelation of any of the truths that they either were to bring to light or to confirm by their witness bearing. Witnesses are not always bound to speak. There is a time, quote, to keep silence, close quote, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 7, and, quote, thou shalt be dumb, close quote, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 26. But how shall we know when this time has come? Well, number one, when a sufficient testimony has been given for Christ and against Antichrist, before the God of heaven, for he must be the judge. Number two, when our enemies forbear to plead against her by argument, and rather betake themselves to blows. That's Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. Number three, when the spirit of testimony bearing is taken from the church. For that is not essential to Christianity, but is given and taken away as there is occasion. Number four, when testimony bearing becomes a vain or needless repetition, when they have heard sufficiently of things before. John chapter 9, verse 27. Secondly, this victory of the beast shall not invalidate or weaken their testimony. No, not in the eyes of the world, for they will still remember and have a reverence for it. This is intimated by this, that, quote, they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations that are neither the witnesses, nor they that in the next verse are called the inhabitants, or they that dwell upon the earth, they shall not allow their dead bodies to be buried or to be put into graves. It's Revelation chapter 11, verse 9. Thirdly, this shall not lengthen the reign and tranquility of the anti-Christian kingdom, nor frustrate or drive back or cause to tarry the glorious freedom and liberty of the saints. But some may say, this will be a, and Bunyan capitalizes here, sad day. So it will, and gloomy, but it will be but short. And, quote, the righteous shall have dominion over them next morning, close quote. 'twill be last but 3 days and a half. Nor shall it come but for the sins of churches and saints, and to hasten the downfall of the kingdom of the beast, and for the sweetening to the church her future mercies. Christ Jesus, our Lord, in answer to the question of his disciples about the destruction of Jerusalem, presented them with a relation of many sad things. But when he was come even to the hearts of men, and had told them, quote, that they should fail for fear, close quote, he said, quote, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth near, close quote. Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 28. 'Tis as ordinary as for the light to shine, for God to make black and dismal dispensations, to utter in bright and pleasing ones, yea, and the more frightful that is which goes before, the more comforting is that which follows after. Instances in abundance might be given as to this, but at present let this suffice that is here upon the paper before us, namely the state of the witnesses with their glorious resurrection. The fifth sign. Fifthly, another sign of the approach of the ruin of Antichrist will be this: the great joy that will be in her and among her disciples when they shall see that the witnesses are slain and lie dead upon the spot. Quote, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell upon the earth. Close quote. Revelation chapter 11, verse 10. Babylon has been always a merry city, and her disciples merry men. But the poor church of Christ has been a solitary, and as a wife forsaken. Her tears upon her cheeks bear her witness, and so also doth her sackcloth. Hence our Babylon, under the name of Nineveh, is called, quote, the rejoicing city, close quote. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 15. Only her joy is distinguished from that which is the joy of God's people by these two things. First, either she rejoiceth in outward and carnal glory, or else in the ruin of the church of God. This last, to wit, the supposed ruin of the church of God, is that which will be now the cause of her glorying. And this is the joy that God complaineth of, and for the which he said that he would punish Babylon. Quote, Chaldee shall be a spoil, all that spoil, her shall be satisfied, saith the Lord. Because ye were glad, because ye rejoiced, O ye destroyers of mine heritage, close quote, etc. Jeremiah chapter 50, verses 10 and 11. The joy, therefore, of Babylon, Antichrist, the joy that she shall conceive in her heart upon the slaughter of the witnesses, is a sure sign of her unavoidable ruin and destruction. These two prophets tormented her. They were to Babylon as Mordecai was to Haman, a continual plague and an eyesore, as also was David to the wretched Saul. But now they are overcome, now they are killed, now she rejoiceth and maketh merry. And this her joy was of old, prefigured by them that in her spirit have gone before her. As, first, when the Philistines had, as they thought, forever overcome Samson, that Nazarite of God. How joyful were they of the victory. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god, and to rejoice, for they said, Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, that is, saw him in chains, they praised their God, for they said, Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. Close quote. Judges chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. Poor Samson. While thou hadst thy locks, thy liberty, and thine eyes, thou didst shake the pillar that did bear up their kingdom. But now they have conquered thee, and how great is their joy! How great is their joy, and how near their downfall! This, therefore, is a joy that is like that we have under consideration. To wit, the joy of them that dwell upon the earth, for that the witnesses that did bear up the name of God in the world were overcome and killed. Secondly, like to this is that which you read of in the first book of Samuel concerning the men that had burnt David's Ziklag. Ziklag was poor David's place of safety. Nor had he any else but that under the whole heaven. But the children of the east came upon it, and took it, and set it on fire, and carried thence all David's substance, with his wives and his children. Very ill done to a man in affliction, to a man that went always in fear of his life because of the rages of his master Saul. But how were they that got the victory? All they were joyful and glad and merry at heart at the thoughts of the richness of the booty. For the spoil, quote, Behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines, that is from Ziklag, and out of the land of Judah, close quote. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 16. Here again you find a joy and a merriment, like these that we have under consideration, and that upon such like accounts. Nothing pleases the wicked more than to see the godly go down the wind, for their words and lives and actions are a plague and a torment to them. As, quote, 'Tis said of these two prophets, quote, they tormented them that dwelt on the earth, close quote. Thirdly, while the church of God lay dead in Babylon, and as bones exceeding dry, what a trampling upon them was there by Belshazzar, a little before his death. Some may pronounce it Belshazzar, a little before his death. He called for his golden and silver vessels that his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple of God that was at Jerusalem, those holy vessels once dedicated to the worship and service of God, that his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. And high affront to heaven, quote, they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone, close quote. Daniel chapter 5, verse 4. And all to show what a conquest, as he thought, he had gotten over the God of heaven, and over his people that dwelt in Jerusalem, and over his ordinances and vessels used in his worship and service. Yea, this he did with such joy that was not usual, as is intimated by his doing of it before, quote, a thousand of his lords, close quote, and that he had, till he had drank himself drunken. But all this while, as was hinted before, the church of God, as it were, lay dead at his feet, or, as the phrase is, quote,
as bones exceeding dry. Close quote. This too will be the joy of the beast and his followers in the latter days. They will make war with the witnesses. They shall overcome them and kill them. And when that is done, they shall rejoice over them and make merry. But as Belshazzar, or Belshazzar, soon after this, saw the handwriting that made his knees knock together, and as he lived not to see the light of another day, so, quote, it will be with the beast and his followers. Close quote. The next news that we hear upon this mirth and joality is, or jollity, is the tenth part of his kingdom falls, and so on till the whole is ruined. Thirdly, Moab also, in the day that Israel was taken captive by their enemies, could not forbear, but skip for joy. So glad was he in his heart thereat. But what saith the jealous Lord? Quote, make ye him drunken, for he magnified himself against the Lord. Moab also shall be in derision. For was not Israel, saith God, a derision unto thee? Was he found among thieves? For since thou spakest of him, thou skippest for joy, close quote. That's Jeremiah chapter 48, verses 26 and 27. Of all things, God cannot away with this. For when the wicked would rejoice that they have been allowed to make havoc of the church of God, they deny the wisdom and power by which they were permitted to do this, and offer sacrifice to their own net and drag. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 16, which provoketh the holiness of Israel. Quote, shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it? As if the rod should shake itself against them that lift it up, or as if the staff should lift up itself, as if it were no wood, close quote. But what follows? Why, burning and consuming of soul and body of them that do such a thing. That's Isaiah chapter 10, verses 15 through 18. And this text I the rather bring, because, quote, 'tis to be the portion of Antichrist, close quote. And therefore let this be a caution to the men that wander after the beast, to caution them to repentance, for he will assuredly go into perdition. What? Shall the witness of God be killed? Shall the beast stand glorying over them while they are dead, with his feet upon the neck? And shall none be angry at it? Let them that love themselves look to themselves. God will be concerned, and will assuredly, for this, quickly put a period to the kingdom and reign of Antichrist. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 13. And although this glorying mistress of iniquity, this Antichrist in Babylon, may say that her power is the hammer of the whole earth, yet God will cut him in sunder and break him in pieces with his bout hammers. With the kings of the earth that he will use to do this work withal. That's W-I-T-H-A-L. That is, when this last sign is fulfilled. I call it the last sign. I find none that doth intervene between the slaying of the witnesses and the beginnings of the ruin of Antichrist, but this. But a little to comment upon their joy, as the Holy Ghost doth set it forth. The cause of their joy we have touched on already, which was for that they had slain their tormentors.
For, as was showed you, the witnesses had been their tormentors. When they shall overcome them and kill them, they rejoice and make merry and send gifts one to another. This repeating and repeating with aggravation doth manifest, and at that day their joy will be exceeding great. Quote, they shall rejoice and make merry, close quote, etc. They shall rejoice over them, over their slain, their enemies, their tormenting enemies. This joy, therefore, is a joy that flows from victory. From victory after a war that has lasted 1,260 years. They shall rejoice as they do that have a most potent, vexatious, and tormenting enemy lying dead at their feet, and as those that ride in triumph over them. They shall therefore rejoice as conquerors used to do, who make the slaughters of their spoiled enemies the trophy of their joy. For the devil, that great deceiver of mankind, will so flush up and bewitch the men that wonder after the beast, that the victory that they shall get over the faithful witnesses for God and his Son, that they will think, 'twill never be the day, that the victory is so complete, so universal, so thorough, that the conquest must be lasting. And from sense and reason, they will have ground to think so. For who now is left in the world any more to make head against them, or make headway against them? But here comes in that which will utterly spoil this joy. These conquered, killed, dead men must come to life again. And then what's become of their joy? Quote, and great fear fell upon them which saw them, close quote. Revelation chapter 11, verse 11. Wherefore this joy must fade and vanish. But, I say, the followers of the beast will be far from thinking so, for they will, quote, rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts one to another, close quote, concluding that these tormentors shall never torment them any more. But Jacob's blessing upon his son Gad shall be fulfilled upon these witnesses. Quote, Gad, saith he, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last, close quote. Genesis chapter 49, verse 19. So then, these conquerors must not always rejoice, though they will suppose they shall, and shall also make merry. And make merry. To make merry is more than to rejoice. To rejoice to show the present act of the soul. But to make merry is to use the means as that which will keep this joy alive and upon foot. Joy is one thing, and the continuance of it is another. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 36. Joy may be begotten by a conceit, a thought, but it cannot be maintained so, because deliberation will come in and spoil it. Esther chapter 5, verse 4. If sufficient means is not used to continue it. Wherefore, he adds, that they rejoiced over them, quote, and made merry, close quote. And there are five things that are usually made use of to keep up wicked joy. Number one, there is the merriment of music. Luke chapter 15, verse 25 and 32. Number two, the merriment of feasting. It's Judges chapter 19, verses 6 through 9. Number three, the merriment of laughter. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19. Number four, the merriment of fleshly solace. That's Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 4. Number five, revenge upon a supposed enemy.
2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 28.
So then, by these five things, we see what is the way that sinful joy is maintained in the hearts of wicked men,
and also by what means the limbs and brats of Antichrist will keep up that joy, that at first will be conceived in their hearts at the thought that now they have killed their tormentors. They shall have music, they shall have feasting, they shall have laughter, they shall have fleshly solace, and they shall have their fill for the time of revenge. Thus therefore shall they rejoice over them and make merry all the time of that little, short, everlasting that they are to live in the world. And make merry. To make merry, to make wicked mirth, there must be a continual fraternity or brotherhood in iniquity maintained among them, and that where none may come to interrupt, and that they will be capable of doing any where then, for that their tormentors will be dead. Wickedness shall walk with open face in those days, for then there will be none alive for God and his ways. Wherefore, the beast and his train may do what they will. Now will be the time for men to live carelessly and wantonly, and to make their wantonness their joy, after the manner of the Sidonians. For there will be none to put them to open shame, and shall send gifts one to another. This is another token of their gladness, and also a means to buoy them up still. And it will be a sign that they have joined hand in hand to do this wickedness, not dreaming of the punishment that must follow this sending of gifts to each other. And that, after they have slain these two prophets, doth also declare that they will be far from repentance for the commission of so great an offense. Nay, it signifies further that they were resolved and determined to quench all manner of convictions one in another that might arise in their hearts for the sin which they had committed. For a gift blinds the eyes of the wise and perverts the judgment of the righteous. How much more then will it stifle and choke appearances of such upon the spirits of wicked men? I question not at all, but many have been, by the favors and gifts of wicked men, drawn down into the belly of hell. Now what these gifts will be, either as to kind or quantity, that I can say nothing to. But probably, whatever they will be, there will be but little of their own cost in them. Victors and conquerors do used to visit their friends with their spoils won in battle, with the spoil of the enemies of their God. It's Ezra chapter 10, verse 7. And this was David's way after he had recovered the loss that he had sustained at the burning of his Ziklag. He sent to his friends of what he had taken from his enemies as tokens of victory. Quote, David sent of the spoil, says the text, unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, behold, a present for you of the spoils of the enemies of the Lord, close quote. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 26. And why may not those we have now under consideration do also to their God and to their friends as well? Spoiling is like to be one of the last of the mischiefs that Antichrist shall do to the Church of God in this world. And methinks, since the beast will have power to overcome and to kill, he should also have power to take away. Daniel chapter 11, verse 33, quote, "Hast thou killed and also taken possession?" close quote, said the prophet to the wicked Ahab. However, whatever their gifts may be, and at whose cost soever bought, quote, "'Tis a sign their hearts will be open. They shall send gifts one to another. Their merry days will then be come, and their enemies will then be dead at their feet." Quote, close quote. "Wherefore, now they will have nothing to do but to rejoice over them, and to make merry, and to send gifts one to another." Thus, as to sense and reason, all shall be hush, all shall be quiet and still. The followers of the Lamb shall be down, the followers of the beast be up, cry peace and safety, and shall be as secure as an hardened heart. False peace and a deceitful devil can make them. But behold, while they thus, quote, "sing in the windows," close quote, death is straddling over the threshold. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 14. While they are crying peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh. By that they have well settled themselves at their table with Adonijah. 1 Kings chapter 1. They shall hear it proclaimed with the sound of the trumpet. The witnesses are risen again. Now the Christians' pipes will go again, and surely the earth will be torn apart with the sound of their shouts and acclamations, while they cry with joyful sound, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever," close quote. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. "But woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with them. For the Lord Jesus will now begin to show his jealousy and to make known his indignation towards those that have thus cruelly slain his prophets, digged down his altars, and made such havoc of the afflicted church of God." Isaiah chapter 66, verse 14. "Now will he whet his glittering sword, and his hand shall take hold on vengeance, that he may render a recompense to his enemies, and repay them that hate him." That's Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 41. "But this he will not do immediately by himself, but rather by such instruments as have been spoken of before, of which more particularly to treat shall be that I shall next take in hand." And that will be the end of today's book reading. This is Dwayne Lynn signing off. Oh, before I sign off, just to take note, take what Bunyan is saying and use what God has given you as far as being able to see around you. Listen to the words. Take it in the context of the world in which you live and see if he speaks not the truth. He speaks of Rome, the Roman tradition. Anyway, that's all for today. May the Lord bless and preserve you who listen to this reading. And see you next time.